Morning. Today's daf and gittin is Nun Zion. Thank the Lubman Foundation for the sponsorship of the daf. Daf as long as Zechon Ishmael Libek Arviel Bashmuel. We are continuing today. We're in Nun Vav Amud Beis. We are halfway down the Amud. Asvasa. We are talking about the remedy for Rebbe Tzadok. Started yesterday the Agadata regarding Chorban Bayis Sheni. The Gemara yesterday told us that there are three episodes that we can pinpoint in terms of really showing the some of the root causes of the Chorban Bayis Sheni. The Gemara in Yuma, which I think is more famously known, is that the Chorban Bayis Sheni was destroyed on account of Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred. The Gemara over here, however, points to other events, episodes, and midos that bring about the destruction. The Gemara we just finished up yesterday with Rav Yochanan Zakkai, who had a nephew who was philosophically, ideologically opposed to him. Rav Yochanan Zakkai wanted moderation. He wanted to try to create some sort of shalom between him and the Romans, between the Jews and the Romans. His nephew, on the other hand, was a member of the Biryonim, a Biryonim group of hardliners who wanted no such thing. They just wanted to milchama. They wanted to do a fight and war with the Romans. And so Rav Yochanan Zakkai through a scheme was able to basically get himself out of the siege city of Yerushalayim, go meet with the Roman emperor, who at the time was not yet the Roman emperor, it was Vespasian, who was about to be appointed Roman emperor, and through a series of events, basically, Vespasian gave him his requests, and he requested Yavne v'chachmeha. He wanted the yeshiva of Yavne, he wanted the shulshuls of the Rebbe Gamliel, the lineage of Rebbe Gamliel, as we pointed out yesterday, that has to do with the Machus Beis David, and he wanted a cure for Rebbe Tzadok. Rebbe Tzadok, who was fasting, as we learned in yesterday's Gemara, for the last 40 years of Bayis Sheni, and Bayis Sheni existed because of the zechus of Rebbe Tzadok. So he was emaciated, he was frail, and so they looked for a cure for Rebbe Tzadok. So though, in a nutshell, that's what we saw yesterday. We're continuing the Gemara Nunvav Amud Beis Asvasa. So the Misayin Leila Rebbe Tzadok Maihi. So what exactly was the remedy for Rebbe Tzadok? We're in the middle of Nunvav Amud Beis. First word in the line is he. It's right along where the Hagos Agra is on the Gemara. So Yuma Kamashku Maya Depare. The first day they gave him water, which was filtered through a little bit of bran. Lamacha Mai De Sipuka. Lamacha Mai De Kimcha. And again, every day they gave him water, which had a little bit more nutrition in it. Ad de ravach maya porta porta, until his intestines expanded just a little bit. In other words, because of all of his fasting, his intestines were shrunk, and so therefore they continued giving him a little bit of nutrition, liquid nutrition, until he recovered. Azo sharja latitos va'amar. They sent the following to Titus, and they said, "Hey, okay, Mitzur Chas Yo, Bo Zu Titus Arasha Shechira Vegidev Kapemala." It's a reference to Titus who blasphemed towards Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'asa Tafazona Biado. Gemara describes now Titus and his heinous activity. He took a zona, Benechlas Beis Kodesh Hakadoshim, and he went into Kodesh Hakadoshim. Vehitzia Sefer Torah, and then he laid down a Sefer Torah on the floor of Kodesh Hakadoshim. Ve'avar Allah Avera, and he did an Avera on the Sefer Torah in the Kodesh Hakadoshim. And then he took a sword and he stabbed the parochas v'nasanes v'ayadam v'atzveitz v'yotze. And then, as he stabbed the parochas with the blade, so the parochas started bleeding. V'kasavar haragas atzmo. Now he thought, "Oh, I killed the Kadosh Baruch Hu." Shenemar shagut zarecha bekerv moadecha samu oso sam oso. They thought that their signs was a sign. So that's what he thought. So Abba Chanan Omer mi kamocha chasin kav mi kamocha chasin v'kasha. So in this regard, Kadosh Baruch Hu is his midah is that he was quiet. He was stoic. Sha'ato shaman yutzav v'gidufa shalos harasha. You were able to listen to the blasphemy of this particular rasha. V'shosik and you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, were quiet. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana mi kamocha ba. Elim Hashem, mi kamocha be'ilmim. Similar idea, just derived from a different pasuk. The elim is somebody who is a mute. Kadosh Baruch Hu treated himself as if he were a mute. Ma'asa natas haparoch va'asa kemin gargusni. Now back to Titus. What did Titus do after stabbing the parochas? He basically took the parochas and wrapped it up like a sack. Ve'evi kol hakelim shebemikdash v'yinicha bahem. And he took the kelim in the mikdash and he put him in the sack. Ve'oshivam b'sfina leilech lihishtabech be'iro. And he went back in a boat in order to praise himself in terms of the plunder that he did in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, right? The famous arch that that depicts the plundering of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a visualization of this Gemara. Shenamar uvechein reis v'shaim kvurim uva'u umimakom kado shealech v'yishachu be'ir asher kein asam. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Kohelet, and the Gemara now just rereads this pasuk. Al tikrei kavurim ela kavutsim. It was collected, meaning he collected all the plunder of the Beis HaMikdash. Al tikrei vayishtachu ela vayishtabachu. And again, just with one emendation, so the pasuk could be understood as that he praised himself. Igad ami kavurim mamash dafilo mila demitran iglai lahon. And the Gemara says that also it could be that it's kavurim, things that were hidden, could be a reference to the Aron. Could be. So the those things he revealed as well. Amar alav nichshol shebiyam latovo. So now the Gemara describes on the boat, heading back to Rome, with the spoils of the Beis HaMikdash. So he's going back to Rome, and the sea wants to drown him in the water. Amar kemaduma ani. So Titus, who is defiant, so he says, it seems to me, she'elo heyem shal'elu ein gvuraso ela b'mayim. Now, there must be that their God only has strength by water. Ba'paro tava b'mayim, ba'sisra tava b'mayim. So we find by paro, by sisra, that they were drowned in water. Afu omed alayla tavani b'mayim. Oh, so that must be his move and his only move. This is a blasphemy of Titus against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Im gibor hu ya'ala li'yashav yasu mi'machama. So if he's really that strong, so we'll wait till I get to land. And then let him take issue with me on land. So Kadosh Baruch Hu's response is, you are a Rasha, son of the Rasha, son of Esav, ultimately a descendant of Esav. Bir yakala yeshli ba'olami. I have a small creature in my world. V'itushma, it's a gnat. It's some sort of small insect. Amai kari le bir yakala. Dema'al ne'isle mafakna le'isle. So the Gemara says, bir yakala, it's light because it ingests, but doesn't do much in terms of excretion. Ala li'avasha kachilav ababa. Sorry. Ala li'avasha v'tasa imam mechama. So, okay, so once you get to dry land, so it, this little insect, is going to do war with you. So in comes the Yitush and goes into his head through his nose. And started picking at his brain for 7 years. Tosfos over here is bothered by a very simple question. We know that once there is penetration into the brain, so then that renders the person a trefa. We know the Gemara in Chulin says that a trefa doesn't live for more than 12 months. So why isn't how could he have lasted for 7 years with this little insect penetrating into his brain? So Tosfos makes a couple points over here. Number one, says Tosfos that it went in through the nose; it didn't go in through the top of the brain. The krum shel malach, the membrane over the brain, is what renders a person a trefa. That's point number one. And point number two, says Tosfos, is that in general you can't compare the trefa of an animal to a trefa of a human being. In other words, we know what all the trefas of an animal would be. That's the third parak of Chulin. But we're discussing over here a human being. So it may not be that the trefas of the two are equivalent to one another. Just two points of Tosfos to consider. Yumachad have a kachalif ababa debay navcham. So now, Titus is in Rome with an insect in his head, pecking at his head. A migraine, I'm sure, is a mild way to describe what he was feeling. So one day, as he was walking, he passed by Beinafcha, a smith, some sort of blacksmith, Shamakal Arzafta, and then when the gnat heard, that little fly heard the banging of the hammer, Ishtik. So the gnat was, the little insect was quiet, meaning somehow he responded to. You know, it gave Titus a small relief from the banging headache. Amar ika takanta. So now he figured out, oh, okay, fine. I know how to get relief from this terrible headache. Kol yuma maisu nafcha umachu kame. So every day now, Titus would have to hire somebody to bang in front of him. Lanachriyav le abizuze. Now, if he hired a non-Jew, so he would give him four zuz a day for the work. Liyisol amar lahu mistaech dekachasus b'sanacha. So if it was a Jew that was hired for the job, so he told the Jew, I'm not going to pay you because just by you watching me being tortured, so that's going to be payment enough. Al talsin yume Avar Hachi for 30 days. He did that mikam ve'elach kevin the dash dash. But then after 30 days, the insect got used to the hammering, and so the insect didn't pay any more attention to the hammering. So it was really only in temporary relief. It only worked for a total of 30 days. Tanya Amar Rabbi Pinchas ben Aruva Ani Aisi ben Gedolei Rami. I was amongst the Gedolim, ukishemes patso es mocho, and finally, when Titus died, his brain was opened up. Umotzebo kitzipor dror mishkal shnei salaim. So a bird was found within his head. It was the weight of two salaim in masnisatana and nebraisa kigozo ben shana. It was the size of a gozo that was 1 year old. Mishkal shnei litrim, weight of 2 liter. Amar Abai naktin and pivsha nachoshev kitziporna shal barzel, and Abai says that we have a tradition that the mouth of it was of copper, and then fingernails was of iron. So as he was dying, so his instructions were, I want to be cremated, so burn me down, reduce me down to ashes, and I want you to take my ashes and spread them over the 7 oceans. Because I don't want their God to find me and to subject me to din. So if you burn me down to ashes and you spread me out, so I'm going to be able to avoid any type of din with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Adkan, the Gemara regarding Titus. Unklus bar Kolonikos bar Achde de Titus. Gemara describes how Unklus, son of Kolonikos, who was the nephew of Titus. So he was a grand nephew of Titus. Have a bali guri. So he wanted to convert. And so before converting, so he did a little bit of research to find out whether this would be a good idea or not. Now, in terms of doing research, so he did something which to us Jews is prohibited, although to be honest, Shaul did it in the Navi. But anyway, Azo Askalatita. So what he did is he raised people from the dead and he spoke to them. Post-mortem. So, Azal Askalatitus Benegida. So, using a nichush, so he, some sort of magic, so he raised Titus up from the dead to speak to Titus. Amalei man chashiva u'ama. So, he says, who has chashivas in this world? Amalei Yisrael. Okay, so Titus gave him the answer. It's the Jewish people. My la'adbuke behu. Should I cling to them? Should I become a ger? So amalei milai nefishim v'lo masis l'kiyumnu. So he says. So Titus' advice is, don't do it. There are so many mitzvos. It's going to be impossible for you to fulfill all those mitzvos. No, I don't recommend it. Zil igari behu. But Titus' advice was go the other way, meaning don't join them, but be an adversary of the Jewish people. And that's guaranteed prominence. So all you need to do is just attack the Jewish people, and you yourself will lead to prominence. This is the advice that Titus is giving to his great, to his grand nephew, in terms of what he should do. Dichsiv hayatzarel l'rosh. Pasuk Anecha describes that the enemies of the Jewish people are to the head. Kol hametzi l'Yisrael naser rosh. Anyone who becomes an adversary of the Jewish people immediately becomes the head. Amalei dina da'u gavra b'mai. So as long as he has his great uncle's attention, he wonders. So what's your din? What's your how are you being judged in the Olam HaEmes? So, and remember, Titus had his ashes burnt and spread out over the seven oceans, so he would avoid it. As I'm sure we can imagine, it's not avoidable. So the Dahu Gavra Bemai, I'm really on the top of Nizayin Amad Aleph, Bemai Depasik Anafshe. You know what my punishment is? Exactly what I did to myself. Kol Yuma Mechan Selei Lekitme. Every day my ashes get gathered and collected and put together. V'dayna Lei, and then I get judged. V'kalu Lei, and then the ashes get burned again. U'mevadju Hashev Yame, and get spread over the seven oceans. So basically what I imposed upon myself, that's my din. But I go through the din on a daily routine. Az Oska Lebilam Benegida. Okay, so that was the first candidate that Unklus interviewed before converting to Yiddishkeit. Then he brings up now a second person to interview, and that's Bilam. So Amalei Man Chashav Alama, and the line of questioning is very similar. Who's Chashav? Amalei Yisrael. So he gives him the answer. It's the Jewish people. Leid Buke Behu. I'm sorry. Mahu Leid Buke Behu. So should I join them? Amalei Lo Tidrush Laman V'Tavasam Kol Hayamim. So his response is, don't do it. Don't don't inquire about their welfare. Amar lei dina du'gav rabbi mai. So he says to Bilam, and how are you judged in the world? Amar lei b'shichvat zera sachas, I'm being burned in boiling shichvat zera. Rashi, top of the right-hand column, writes, mida keneged mida. Rashi writes that this is measure for measure for Bilam. Why? Sheba atzaso hischil ha'am l'znos el benos moav. Because it's because of the Eitzah that was given by Bilam, so the Jewish people were involved in Znus. So Mida Keneged Mida, so he was being boiled in Shechvat Zera. Aza Aska Benegidin LePoshe Yisrael. And then he brought up Poshe Yisrael. This is now the third person that Unklus was interviewing in terms of before deciding to convert. So Amalei Mancha Shebalama, so we don't know who the third candidate is. We could speculate. I'm not going to, but man chashebe be'u'ama. So who has chashivas in this world? Amalei Yisrael. So he says the Jewish people. Mahu liadbuke be'u'ama lo tavasam drosh ra'asam lo tidrosh kol anogea bahem ki ilu nogea bebavas enam. So here he finally got a positive response in terms of whether I should convert. He said yes. He said coming to contact with them is coming to contact with the people of the eye. The people of the eye over here making a reference to, basically you can become connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amalei dina du gavra b'mai. How exactly is that person, meaning you, how are you getting judged? Amalei b'tzor rosachas. So he says, tzor rosachas, the amamar kol hamalig al divrei chachamim. Anyone who makes fun of divrei chachamim, nidam b'tzor rosachas, that's how they're going to get judged. The Gemara now notes the basic distinction between the responses that he got from the first two candidates, meaning from Titus and from Bilam, versus the kind of response that he got from Poshe Yisrael. So, Umas Olam, over the Avodah Zara. The Gemara just simply says, no, the difference between the two, and even though the last one that he interviewed was an Ovdei Avodah Zara, but ultimately when all said and done, he says, yes, it's worthwhile to join the Jewish people. Tanya Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Rei Kama Gedola Kocha Shel Busha Sherei Siya Kadosh Baruch Hu Es Bar Kamtza Vehechri Vesbeisa Vesar Vesechalo. And then the Gemara, just wrapping up the first episode of Chorban Baisheni, connecting it to Kamtza Bar Kamtza, the Gemara says, just take a look at the Mida of Busha, meaning with just a little bit of Busha, so then the host of the party wouldn't have thrown out Bar Kamtza, and it would not have led to all this. Okay. We're in Zainam and Aleph. We are continuing now when we started off the Gemara yesterday. So the Gemara noted that there were three episodes that led to Chorban Baisheni. So we did Kamtza Bar Kamtza that took the Gemara over Daf 2. To go over the story together with all the side points that the Gemara brought about. Now we are to the second episode, Tarnagola Utarnagolasa, Charif Tormalka, on account of a rooster and a hen. So Tormalka was destroyed, and the Gemara now tells the story. Dahavnehigi, there was a minhag. Ki havu mafik chasana v'kalasa, so that when a chasana kala were taken out, mafki kamayhu tarnagola utarnagolasa. So the minhag was is that a rooster and a hen were trotted in front of the chasan and kala. So klamer peruvu ketarnegolim, and it's a bracha, it's a simen bracha, that just like the rooster and the hen are going to be fruitful and multiply, so you should be fruitful and multiply. Yumachana v'kachalev gunda deramai shaklina minayhu. So one time, while there was a chasna, and while the rooster and the hen were being trotted in front of the chasna and kala, so a Roman army, a legion, happened to have been marching through the town. They didn't like the rooster and the hen. They took the rooster and the hen. Nafla alayim machunu. And then what happened was that the Jewish people there were so offended. I mean, we have a minhag, and look what they're doing to their minhag. So they took the. Must have been a small Roman legion, must have been a small troop, whatever the details were. So they took the Romans and they attacked the Romans. Also Amrulei Lekesar, so now this got reported back to the Caesar. Mardu Bach Yudai, and basically was trumped up as not just the Jews were defending their minhag, but the Jews are rebelling against you. Also Alayhu, and so Caesar said, okay, they're rebelling against me, I'm going to go in and attack them. Hava bahu ahu bar drama, da vikafitz mili vikata bahu. So There happened to have been a southerner who lived in this area. And the Gemara just simply describes him as somebody who can jump, who can kill, meaning he was an unbelievable warrior. And the Romans knew that even though they had the numbers and they had the army, but they knew that if they were attacked, this southerner was almost had superpowers and would be able to defend the Jewish people. And so, Shakle Kesalatage, so Caesar took off his crown, the Usve A'ara, and took his crown and put it right on the ground. And Amar, and now the Caesar's praying to Kadosh Baruch Hu that he would be able to defeat the Jews, and specifically this southerner, this Bar Drama. Ribona da amakula kule inichalach lo timsere lahugavra lidide ulamachuse biade dechai gavra. He says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, I beg of you, don't let the Roman people fall to the hands of one person. It's demeaning, it's demoralizing. Achshele pume lebar drama. So the Gemara points out that this southerner, so he was machshel on his own words, meaning he said something which he shouldn't have said. The Gemara is about to tell us what he said. And as a result of that, so the Bar Drama died. So, and the way the Gemara constructs the story, it certainly sounds like that the tefillos of the Caesar certainly had a part in the Bar Drama stumbling over his own words. Amar. Now this is what the Bar Drama said. Halo ata Elokim zanachtanu. V'lo teitzei Elokim b'tzivusenu. So you left us the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You don't go out to battle with us the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I have to defend the Jewish people. I'm ad libbing. I have to defend the Jewish people on my own. You're not giving us any help. So that's what he said. That's what the Bar Drama said. Now, if you notice, by the way, because you see the little circle, what he's really doing is he's quoting a pasuk, and it's a pasuk in Tehillim. So, although certainly it's blasphemous what he's saying, but as the Gemara is going to point out in just a second, he's just quoting a pasuk. So how can you fault him for saying it when meanwhile it's a pasuk? And that's what the Gemara asks. The Gemara says, David Nami, Amar Hachi. What do you mean? David said this as well. How can you fault the Bar Drama? David et mukamat me. So the Gemara says, what's really important is that when you read the pasuk, you got to inflect correctly. When David was saying this, he was not saying this as a statement. It was a rhetorical question. Do you think that Akash Baruch Hu left us? Do you think that we're going to go out to a battle on our own? Of course not. And then the implied answer. Of course not. Of course Akash Baruch Hu goes out to battle with us. But what he did is he read the pasuk without the proper inflection. He didn't put a question mark at the end. He put a period at the end of the statement. Probably an exclamation point. But so the Gemara says that's of course a fundamental difference between the way David wrote it and the way he's saying it. So this southerner, this Bar Drama, so he goes to the bathroom, snake comes along and bites him. He dies. Now the Caesar realizes that he was saved, meaning saved to the extent in which he didn't have to fight the Bar Drama, and he knew that if he had to fight the Bar Drama, he and his army would have been defeated, and he knew that Akash Baruch who killed the Bar Drama as a result of his tefillah. So he said, you know what, I'm going to show a karas atov to Akash Baruch Hu, ish vikinu, and I will leave them this time. Meaning, I'm not gonna do anything to this time. Shafkinu, va'azal izakar va'achlu v'shasu, va'adliku sharge. And so, when the Jewish people saw that the Roman troops left, so they partied. They felt that this was cause for celebration. They ate, they drank, they lit lights. Adis chazeh bilyone de gushpanka berachok mila. So in fact, the festivities were such that they lit so many lights that you were able to tell the face of a coin based on the illumination that was given off by that city and the parting that was going on. Amar. So Caesar basically turned around, looked over his shoulder, and saw what's happening. Michtecha chadu beyudai. They're mocking me, the Jewish people. Hadasar Elias, and then he goes back and he attacks. Am Rabbi Asi Tlasmea Alpe Shlifi Saifa Ailulatormaka. There were 300,000 swords that attacked Tormaka. Vikatlu ba tasa yume vitasa leilasa. And for 3 days and three nights it was just continuous killing. Uvahaki sahilula vechangi. Vilhaviyade hane behani. And the Gemara concludes by saying that because it was a mountain, so one side of the mountain didn't know what's going on the other side of the mountain. So the whole mountain started off with festivities, but then Caesar turned around and started killing. And he killed on one side of the mountain, and because of the inability to communicate between one side of the mountain and the other side of the mountain, so one side of the mountain was being killed by Caesar and the Romans, and the other side of the mountain was partying, not knowing what was going on. Bala Hashem v'lo chamal eskol ne'us Yaakov. Gemara quotes a pasuk from Eicha. Again, Eicha is the kina that was written by Yirmiyahu for the destruction of Bayis Rishon. Now, mind you, of course, we're describing Chorban Bayis Sheni, but obviously it's Nevuah, so the Nevuah of Chorban Bayis Rishon can be applicable towards Chorban Bayis Sheni as well. So the Gemara goes on to say, Kiyasa Rav Nam Rav Yochanan Elu Shishim Ribu Ayarush Ayul Olianai Melech. This is the 60 times 10,000, 600,000 cities that Yanai Melch had, Bahar Melch, the Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Shishim Ribu Ayaros, Hayulol Yanai Melch. There were 600,000 cities that Yanai Melch had, Bahar Melch, Vechol Achas Vachas Ayaba, Kiyot Mitzrayim. Every one of the cities had the population of 600,000. Chutz Mishal Shehen Kiflaim Kiyot Mitzrayim. Three of the cities had double the population. They had 1.2 million. Elohein, and the three cities are Kfar Bish, Kfar Shechlaim, Kfar Dechraya. So they all, these are the identified three cities that had 1.2 million. Kfar Bish, Delo Yahuva, Besa, Luushbiza. Kfar Bish, because it was, the word Bish means bad. It was a bad city. Bad city meaning no hospitality. And that was by legislation. That was a city ordinance that there was not going to be any hospitality. Kfar Shechlaim Sha'asa Parnasasam and Shechlaim, and the city of Shechlaim, that's how they made their money. They made their money in selling Shechlaim some sort of vegetable, some sort of cress. Kfar Dechraya Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shayin Shosem Yoldos Zecharim Tchila VYoldos Nekeva Ba'achrona Uposekes. So in this city, so the women had first a boy, then a girl, and that would be it. Certainly not enough numbers in terms of increasing the population, but basically they want to control population.
Amu l'lidi chazilu ha'asra.
I'm suggesting, and I don't know. I'm only speculating. I'm suggesting that the population the control was done once it got to that point. But I don't really know. I'm just speculating. Amr Ula Lididi Chazile Uasra Vafilushis and Ribusa Kani Lomachzik. So Ula says, look, I went to go visit that town. Obviously, Ula is describing it years later when there were no longer people living there. But he says, look, geographically, I don't understand. Couldn't even hold 600,000 reeds. I don't understand how we can have a description of it holding so many people. Amr Leu Tzeduki Le Rabbi Chanina Shakur Meshakre. So Rabbi Chanina says, I'm sorry, the Tzeduki says to Rabbi Chanina, you know, you Jewish people are liars. Amr Leu Eretz Tzvi. To which his response is that when we describe Eretz Yisrael is also given the nickname of its Eretz Tzvi. Tzivba. Ma Tzvi Zeh. Ain oro machzik etz basaro af Eretz Yisrael. Bizman she yoshrim ala ravcha. Uvizman she ain yoshrim ala gamda. So Rabbi Chanina says that it goes like this. When you look at the hide of a deer, so when it's connected to the deer, so it expands. But once it's taken off the deer, it shrivels down, and you're looking at it, and you're thinking to yourself, how in the world could the deer itself have been encased in such a small hide? Eretz Yisrael, the same thing. That when there are people over there, it expands. But when there aren't people living there, so it contracts. Rav Minyumi Bar Chilkia, Rav Chilkia Bar Tuvia, Rav Huna Bar Chia Havayas VeGabe Hadade. They were sitting together. Amri Iika Deshmiya Le Milsa Mikfar Sakanya Shel Mitzrayim Lema. If anyone has heard anything regarding this city of Kfar Sakanya that was in Egypt, so please say it. Pasach Amina Vamra Ma'isa Ba'aris Varsaso Shinishbo Lebein Ovde Kochavim. So one tells a story about a engaged couple. More than engaged, meaning erusin is the first stage of marriage. But we know that by erusin it's the first stage of marriage, even though they are chasan and kalan, they're married, but they don't have bia. They don't have bia until they go through a chuppah, and part of the chuppah also is a ksuva. So vihisum zelazem, amra lam bevakasha mimcha tegabish ein li ksuva mimcha. So she says to him that even though they put us together, and even though we're arus varus also,
But we shouldn't be intimate with one another because I don't have a ksuva. V'lo nagaba ad yom moso. And so because there was no ksuva, so therefore they did not have biyum. Uki shemes amalahem siftu lazer shepipa biyitzro yosem yosef. So she says after his death, I want him to have a eulogy that he who had more self-control than Yosef HaTzadik. De'ilu b'Yosef lahava l'chadashaita. Because even though Yosef was proposition, but he was proposition but one time. Now that doesn't mean one time. If you remember the psukim by Yosef, it's called Yom Vayom. It was every day. But meaning one period of time. The high call Yom Aviyuma. And meanwhile, my husband, so he had the Yetzer Hara there in his room every single day for nearly the entirety of his life. Another basic difference. Yosef and Eishes Potiphar were not in the same bed together. So, but me and my husband, we were in the same bed. And meanwhile, Eishes Potiphar was not the wife of Yosef, which gave Yosef some, you know, gave him fuel to fight his Yetzer Hara. Here, however, I was his wife. And meanwhile, because we weren't married, I didn't have a ksuva, so he was still able to defeat his Yetzer Hara. Pasach idach v'amar. Ma'isav amdu arbam mudios bedinar. So the Gemara tells another story regarding the city in Egypt. Basically, what happened was is that there was a terrible inflation in the market. Mudayas bedinar nechzar hashar mudaya achas. What happened was is that basically the market crashed. And ubatko matzu avu bano shabau al nara murasa biyama kipurim. So what happened was is they figured if there was an economic crash, it's not don't look for economic causes for the crash, but must be that there must be an avayan in our midst. So what they did is they did research and they weeded out and they found a father and a son who were having relations with a nara murasa yom kippur. Now the act itself obviously is extraordinarily heinous. But the Gemara's point is that they dealt with it, meaning they found it and they dealt with it. And they brought them to Basin and they give them skilam. Now it's interesting, it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, and generally speaking, capital crimes are not judged. Huh? This was during Korban, so I'm not unclear when exactly it was, and
the legend was there's one sentence,
and we know, and right, and we know, right, the Gemara tells elsewhere that for the last 40 years of the second base, I'm interested in judge a capital crime. Okay, all legitimate questions. So pasach idach v'ama, and the Gemara tells the third story. There was once a man who wanted to divorce his wife, but the ksuba was exorbitant. So what he did is basically he trumped up some charges against her, and one night got her drunk, had her sleep on a bed with other men, and took the white of an egg and dropped it on the bed to look like shechvazera, to look like she slept with another man. And witnesses now were there who saw the bed, the shechvazera. And it does seem like circumstantial evidence, meaning in order to punish somebody, you need to see the act itself. So it does seem to be circumstantial evidence. But over here, he was doing it just so that she would lose her ksuva. And he wasn't interested in having her meet capital punishment. So, okay. So it could be that this aegis is enough for her to forfeit her ksuva. Anyway, Ubala Bezdin, Hayasham Zakein, Echam Itamid Shammai. There was a student who was one of the students of Shammai. I have the tradition, and that is Luban Beitza Sola Minaor. And B'Shech Vazera Dochem Minaor. The white of an egg and Shech Vazera, although they look similar to one another, so they respond differently to heat. And so, and he had this as a tradition, meaning this was part of the sciences that they knew. And so what they did is they tested Batku Umatsu Kidvarav. And he was right. His tradition that he got from Shammai Zaken was absolutely correct. So then they realized that this husband is a deadbeat. and all he was trying to do was basically get his wife to forfeit her ksuva. So what they did is they took him to Beis Din, they beat him and based him, and they extracted money from him so that he would honor the ksuva that he had to pay his wife. So, those are three stories that are told about the city in Egypt. Truth of the matter is, I try to be careful about how I say this, but they're good stories. I was going to say great, but they're not great. But they're good stories, meaning that the stories themselves aren't good, but you see that there was law and order in this town. And even though there were some people who went off the derech, but they dealt with it. So it was a functional society, and that prompts the Gemara to ask the question. They were such great tzaddikim. Now, not I'm sure we understand, but I just wanted to spell it out. Not the people who were involved in the story, not the father and the son who had beer with the Naran Maras on Yom Kippur, and not the husband, the deadbeat husband who was trying to get his wife out of the ksuva, but the people, the basin over there. Meaning they dealt with it. So my tama ianus where with the panasham alay mishum delaw iava al Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says because even though there was justice and there was a Beis Din and they dealt with the rishus in that town, but the Gemara says, but one of the overarching themes is that they weren't properly mourning the loss of the Beis Hamikdash. Dichsiv simchus Yerushalayim v'gilaba kol ava sisu atam esos kol hamisablim alaham. Okay, so it certainly sounds like the answer to the question of why were they punished is because they were in Misaba, which means that it's after Churban Bayis Sheni, which then only just reinforces the question. So how could they have tried one of the people and gave them capital punishment after Churban Bayis Sheni? I don't know the answer. I'm just realizing now that the question is in fact it's even stronger. Okay. Asaka de Rispa Chariv Beitar. This is now the third story. When we started the Agadah on yesterday's daf, so the Gemara told us that there are three incidents that led to the Churban Bayis Sheni. One was Kamsa Bar Kamsa, one was Tarnagola v'Tarnagolasa, and now we're up to the third story, and that is the carriage. And the Gemara is going to tell us the story. Asak derisba chare Beitar, and as a result of this, Beitar was destroyed. Beitar was basically one of the last strongholds of the Jewish people after Churban Bayis Sheni. Da'av nehigi ki hava misyalad yenuka. So the Gemara says that also this is based on a minhag. It's interesting how story number two and number three are minhag Yisrael. It's various minhagim that we practice. It's not a mitzvah, but it's a minhag. It's a nihug, and we were defensive of our minhagim. And it's not clear exactly what the overarching point of the Gemara is in terms of it was good to be. It sounds from the context of the Gemara, certainly sounds like we were overly defensive of our minhagim. But again, I think I'm being a little speculative in saying that. But anyway, Kiyava Misyalad Yenuka Shasle Araza. The minhag was is that when a boy was born, so they planted a cedar tree. Yenukasa Shasle Taranisa. And when a female was born, they would plant some other type of tree.
Pine.
They call it pine tree. Okay. V'chiyava Minsa V'kaitzaluhu. Beautiful minhag. And so when the boy and the girl got married, so what they would do is, obviously now we're talking, depending on where you come from, right? The Gemara in Kedushin says about one of the Amoraim, I got married at 16 and really it was 2 years too late. I should have been married already by 14. So, okay, anyway, the tree was planted, let's say 18 years, 20 years, depending on, 22 years. So anyway, so the Shasayas V'chiyavu Mintzavu Kaitzeluhu, so they would, when they would get married, so they would chop down the trees. The Avru Ganana, and what they would do is they would make the chuppah out of these trees. Okay. Yumachan have a kachafa bar did the Kesar. And one day the daughter of Kesar was going through Itbar Saka Derispak. Now she was being carried on the carriage. Of course, she's the daughter of Caesar. And the carriage broke. And they needed wood to fix the carriage. So what did they do? Katsa Araza. So they cut down a cedar tree, and now keep in mind, in the context of the story that we just learned, the cedar tree that was planted for a child, for a son, which eventually was going to be used for the chuppah. So there was a lot of emotional attachment to that cedar tree. And when the Jews of that town saw that the cedar tree was being cut down, Ailulam, Asu Nafal Alayhu, Machunu. And so what they did is they attacked the the daughter of Caesar, the little entourage that was together with her, they attacked. And so report went back to Caesar. The Jewish people are rebelling, and Caesar went ahead, and that prompted the destruction of Beitar. Gada Bachari Af, called Karen Yisrael. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Eicha. The Gemara now darshins. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Elu Shmonim Elef Karnei Mochama. This is the 80,000 horns of battle. Shenichnusu Lekrach Beitar, that went into the city of Beitar. B'shash Shalachtu V'ar Gubar Nashim V'Nashim V'Taf, killing men, women, and children. Acha Alach Damam V'Nafal Yamagadol. And the bloods flowed from Beitar to Yamagadol, to the Mediterranean. Shematam Rekrova Haisa Rechoka Haisa, Rechoka Haisa Mil. Don't say that it was proximate to the Mediterranean. It was inland by 1 mil. So that's how much blood was flowing. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Gadol Omer Shnei Nachlim Yesh Bebikas Yadayim. There were two valleys, rivers, that went through the Bekah. Echad Moshech Elech Ve'echad Moshech Elech. One flowed in one direction, the other flowed in the other direction. V'shiru Chachamim Shnei Chalakim Mayim Ve'echad Dam. And two parts water, one part blood. B'masisa Tana Sheva Shanim Bitzru Ovrei. Ovde kochavim es karmehem midamem sheyisrael below zevel, because the blood is had such rich nutrients, so the non-Jews were able to fertilize their field using just the blood of the killed Jewish people of Beitar, and they were able to do it for 7 years, and they didn't need any other fertilization. Amar Rabbi Chia, we're on the top of Menzayin Amud Beis. But Amar Rabbi Chia bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Sachli Zakenecha, Men Shushalem Bebika Zu, Harag Nevuzarad and Rav Tavachim, Masayim Va'achas Esrei Ribud. In this town was killed 210 times 10,000, 2.1 million Jews. Over Yerushalayim harag 94 ribu al evan achas. And in Yerushalayim, this is Nebuzaradan, who was the chief executioner of the Romans, so he killed 94 times 10,000, 9.4 million al ad shahalach damam v'nagam adamah shel Zechariah. And the blood flowed until it arrived to the blood and touched the blood of Zechariah. L'kayim ha-shenemar v'damim Damim Nigu, and it's a kiyum of the pasuk in Hosea. Okay. Zechariah was a Navi at the end of Bayis Rishon. Obviously, Nevuzaradan Rav Tavachim was a general at the end of Bayis Sheni. So the blood of Zechariah was there for well over 400 years, closer to 500 years. And the Gemara now goes back to the end of Bayis Rishon to tell the story regarding Zechariah. So, The Gemara is going to describe the Nevuzaradan discovering the blood of Zechariah almost 500 years later after Zechariah was himself killed. Ashkechel Adam de Zechariah Davaka Mirasach. When Nevuzaradan goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he discovers the blood boiling over there. Now we know, meaning we who are learning the Gemara now, so we know that it is the blood of Zechariah. So, Dahava Kamarasech Vesilek, Amr my high. So Nevuzaradan turns to the Jewish people living in Jerusalem and he asks them, whose blood is this? So Amrulei Dam Zvachim di Ishtafech. So they lied. And they said, this is the blood of Karbonos. They didn't want to tell him that it was the blood of Zechariah, because truth be told, Zechariah was an embarrassment. We ourselves were the ones who killed Zechariah. He was being misnavi. He prophesied the destruction of the first temple. We didn't want to hear it, so we killed Zechariah. So obviously it would be embarrassing to have to explain to him that it was the blood of Zechariah, and it's because we didn't listen to him. And so they lied, and they told him that it was the blood of a carbon. But what he then did is he brought the blood of animals to compare the blood of animals to this blood to see if they were right. It was not a match. He realized that they were lying. And so he gave him a simple ultimatum. You're going to tell me the truth, and if you don't tell me the truth, so comb your flesh with iron combs. My name Lach Nevi Ahava Ben Dahava Kamuchach Lan Bimili Dishmaya. So they said, okay, he was a Navi, and he reprimanded us, and he told us to correct ourselves. Kaminan Ilava Vekadlin Ale. And they were honest with Nevuzaradan. So we killed him. And for all these years, and again, approximation of almost 500 years later, we're now at the end of Bayesheni. So approximately 500 years later, his blood is... Just give me a second. The 250 years? Okay. That's fine. Okay. I don't know. The Vuzaranov was the first base of Mikdash. I'm sorry, you're right. Okay. I'm sorry, we're going right. He was the Rav Tavachim of Nebuchadnezzar. Right. Okay, fine. Okay. Thank you. Correction. Good. So kinach dame, so as his blood said, Amalu Anam if I seen a lay, I see Sanhedrin Sanhedrinatana Katal Ilave. So Nebuchadnezzar wanted now the blood to stop boiling. So what he do is he started killing the Sanhedrin Gedola and the Sanhedrin Katana. And Velonach. So but the blood did not rest. Bachurimu Basulos Katalai, who killed young men, young women, Velonach, and the blood didn't rest. Isatinokushabais Rabban, he killed children. Katalai Velonach, and the blood still didn't rest. Amalai Zakhai Zakhaya, Tovin Shabami Vadatam, Nichalach the Abdinu Lakule. So he turns to the blood and he starts talking to the blood and he says, Zakhaya, do you want me to just keep killing? Kida Amrale, Hachi Nach, and finally the blood rested. The blood stopped boiling. At that point in time, Nebuchadnezzar thought to himself that what he did was terrible. Amar Uma im al nefesh achas kacha ugaver dekatal kohani nishmata al achas kama vekama. If this is what happens, where one person was killed and the blood boils for these 100 years, 250 years, so me, how much more so? Meaning, I killed all these people. Aragazo shad deshtar partasa beveise v'igayir. So he gave it tzava. He gave last will to his family, and he left his family and he went and he converted. Tana naman ger toshavaya nevuzaran ger tzedekaya. The Gemara says that although these people were defiantly wicked people, but eventually they did tshuva, and their children ended up becoming great talmidei chachamim. Naaman was a ger toshav, Nevuzaradan was a ger tzedek. The grandchildren of Haman limdu Torah b'bnei Brak, ended up teaching Torah b'nei Brak. Mi b'nei banav shel sisra limdu tinokos b'Yerushalayim. The progeny of Sisra ended up teaching Torah in Yerushalayim. Menav shel son Cheriv limdu Torah b'Rabim, and the grandson of the grandchildren of son Cheriv ended up teaching Torah in public. Man inu, and they are Shmaya ve'Avtayon. Hayne dechsev nasati es dama al tzichich selo levilti hi kasos. The blood will be put on the stone, and it will not be covered. No reference to Zechariah. Let's mark off the spot. Tomorrow we'll start off Hakol Kol Yaakov. Okay, and one more full day. Right? No. This is the last full day of Agarata. Tomorrow we finish up the Agarata regarding Churban Vaisheni, and we are going to continue in the Gemara, finishing off the topic of the Sakrikim.